The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of this station or its sponsors. Warning! This program contains strong adult language, violence, and brief nudity. It's everything you're looking for. Live from the Sims Tower in the Robinson Auto Group studio, we are AM 1600 WKKX.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Whispers Radio here on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It is 6:10 p.m., 45 degrees here in downtown Wheeling. Give us a call, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, call us toll-free, 1-866-514-1600. I'm Jordan Klein, here with Dougie Boyd, and special guest host, Frank Cass.
How's it going, everyone?
Frank. What do you think so far? You like?
Oh, it's pretty neat.
You like the studio?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's fun. I work with Frank. We good, Doug? Okay, first off, I want to say, after the show last week, I got a phone call. I don't know if you guys follow me on Facebook or not. Got a phone call from a news organization in Phoenix, Arizona, and they were like, hey, one of your past guests is suspect in a murder. Can we use a clip of your show? And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. Well, I mean, it's not cool, but that they would call me. Now, it turns out the guest wasn't on, or the last time he was on the air was in September of 2010. I'm like, has he not done an interview in the past 2 years? You know? But he ended up, you know, using a little audio clip, and then, like, the next day I get another phone call, and they're like, yeah, we know that, you know, you had interviewed him. You know, it was from a completely different news organization, and I did, like, a five-minute interview for him for another news station in Phoenix. About a 2012 guy. I guess he got in a shootout with cops, and the cops killed him. Like, a officer knocked on his window. He was asleep in his van, and he just, like, turned around and opened fire with an AR-15. Hmm. You know, that's not stressing out about what's going on or anything. But apparently he killed, like, a few people down the road, like, just randomly. So, as a note to all of our guests here at Whispers Radio, stop killing people. You know, I'm just going to throw that out there. I get that sometimes we can all be a little bit crazy and a little obsessed about what we do, but really? Really? Yeah, you know? I would rather post, like, hey, you know, past guest, you know, Dwayne Claude, won a Nobel Peace Prize, you know, has his own TV show, does this, has a documentary on Animal Planet. You know, I'd rather say that and be able to brag about that than, hey, I just did an interview for the news because... one of my past guests just went over the line and went a little bit too crazy. That being said, Dwayne Claude, one of our past guests that hopefully will one day win the Nobel Peace Prize. You here?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I was actually just putting my guns away before we went on the
air. I hear you. When you aim them, don't aim them towards me, please.
Man, you really do have some guests that make the news, don't you?
I guess.
Man, that's a real scary thing.
Well, I that's why I own guns. And I don't own guns because I want to climb a clock tower. I own them because a lot of times guests get my address.
Oh.
I'm not talking about you, Dwayne, because I know you've come up and spent some time with me, too. So.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other story. But so, how are things down in West Virginia?
Things are going good. We've missed Lola. We haven't talked to Lola. Haven't had her on the air since the end of the year.
Oh,
she's doing a play. So we have Doug. Doug's standing in for her. And Doug, great. The funny thing, we brought Dwayne in the last time we did a big event at the penitentiary. Dwayne came in from Rochester. And we had him stay at the Hare Krishna place.
Oh, boy.
Mike Drzeko actually helped us set that up. I guess that was his way of making a joke. I don't know. But Dwayne was like, oh, thank you for that. It was very interesting.
It was a lot of fun. We'll leave it at that.
All right, tell us what you've been into.
You know, I'll be honest, the last few months have taken a little bit of a hiatus just because, things got so crazy towards the end of the year. And, you know, the phone started to ring again, and, you know, as you know, and most of your listeners know, most of the cases that I deal with tend to be the darker, more violent type haunting cases. You know, it does take a toll on you after a while. So, like I said, took a little hiatus and kind of back in the thick of it now.
You know, it's funny that I have you on this week, and like this morning I got a phone call from a friend of mine, and he's like, listen, I think there's like evil spirits in my house. And I was like, really? Because today on the show we have Dwayne, you know, here's a demonologist. You know, he kind of does that.
So, well, you know what we have never tried, Jordan, is we could always try and do an exorcism out over the airwaves at some point.
Really? Now, isn't it true? I mean, in the Bible, it says that when you take a spirit out of, you know, when you take a spirit away, if you don't, you know, fill it full of godly things, you know, it'll come back with like seven of his buddies.
Oh, absolutely.
So
absolutely. If
we did that over the airwaves and we just threw a lot of demons out and everybody's like, oh, la da da, you know, and all kinds of crazy stuff happens then.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And a lot of what's been happening lately has been a lot of those crazy things because, you know, I'm actually sitting down to start to write another book, and one of the things that kind of has struck me is how the evolution of ghost hunting and paranormal investigation has really taken a big turn since 2004 when Ghost Hunters first came on the air. I mean, I don't know how long ago you started doing this stuff, but I mean, I was doing it well before, you know, paranormal investigations were on TV and the movies came out and all that stuff. And it's interesting how what used to be such a taboo subject. I mean, I remember days when it was wrong to even talk about ghost stories or seeing things like that. And, you know, now it's suddenly turned into commonplace where, If you can't throw a rock and hit at least four ghost hunters in any direction, I mean, it's really unusual. And unfortunately, I think a lot of that has also desensitized people to the dangers and the negative entities that are actually really out there. And it's caused a lot of groups and people to feel that, you know, the darker the case, the better the case for them to deal with, because they see a lot of it, I don't want to say glamorized on television, but
it is.
And one of the biggest, and you know, here's me saying this because I did a documentary, but I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that everything that you see in 15 minutes on that television for that one case is everything that was ever done for that case. And they don't stop to realize everything that goes on behind the scenes. And all the investigation and all the psychological stuff and all of the work with, you know, whatever faith systems that you're working with, whether it's the churches or whatever the case is, they don't see that. And, you know, suddenly they feel that they can handle stuff like this and don't stop to realize the toll that it has on the families, the toll that it has on themselves.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I think it's something that's also pretty, would I say, detrimental to the business. The groups that are taking the Ouija boards in and are really, really opening up all kinds of windows and just leaving the families, you know. Okay, thanks. We did our job. We got some cool audio and videotape of the Ouija board going off. And now all these people are, like, terrorized because you've let, like, monsters into their house. And
well, you know, the whole thing is with the Ouija boards, it's all really based on intention. I mean, whatever you're intending to bring through, you're going to bring through. And when you look 15, 20 years ago, people using Ouija boards, they were teenage girls sitting in their bedrooms at night just trying to scare up the ghost of Abraham Lincoln. And, you know, something happened that, you know, scared them. They left the Ouija board and sometimes left the doorway open. But now you got these people that do go in, and they are looking for something more darker, more sinister, and they want to communicate with it. And, you know, that's just throwing the doorways wide open. And a lot of times, like you say, it does leave the families in detriment afterwards.
What advice would you have? My buddy, I don't know if he's listening or not, he's at work right now and said he wouldn't be able to call in. What advice would you have to somebody who's just to the point where he's seeing shadows and, you know, getting scared and his girlfriend's scared. Now, what advice would you have for somebody like that?
You know, I think the biggest thing to realize is that you may be seeing figures, you may be seeing dark shadows. I like to tell people, first of all, don't always equate a dark shadow to something bad. I mean, you could have something that goes down the hallway that's, you know, white as a ghost, we'll say, and it could be something sinister. Don't equate colors with what's going on. But at the same token, fear is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we've all begun to learn to fear what's there or challenge what's there. And in any circumstance like that, don't pump the negative emotions into it. You know, when you're fearful of something or you challenge it, it's just giving it power and giving it energy. If it's not negative, you know, chances are you could be feeding into it enough just to get it to retaliate anyways, even if it is just a harmless spirit. I guess my biggest thing would be to look back to when the activity first began.
Uh-huh.
You know, was there some sort of change that happened in your life? Something that happened in the household or a new item brought in or something along that lines, and see what that catalyst may have been. And, you know, I don't hesitate to tell people, call the church, you know, call your local faith system, you know, whatever that may be, you know, whether it's Christian or Catholic or Pentecostal or whatever, talk to them about it, because right now I think that they are probably more open than they ever have been and more than willing to lead you through it. I think sometimes one of the worst things you can do is call a group to come in and investigate it, because it just does stir things up more often sometimes.
And one thing that I know we always did as a group was, you know, when somebody was going through, we'd go in and we'd try to prove that it wasn't haunted. And if we couldn't, you know, we'd say, okay, let's talk about your faith. Let's talk about, you know, who you could go to. Let's get in touch with some preachers, some pastors, some ministers, you know, to come into your house and pray with you. You know, it was, okay, this is what we found. Let's work through it. And we kept in contact with those people.
Well, that's just it. I mean, especially in situations where there's a lot of fear being generated, a lot of unknown, it is a long process. I mean, no one is going to be able to go in there and, you know, clear a house and make all the activity stop, you know, with one visit. If anything, it's going to take multiple visits, weeks, months, not years sometimes, to make the activity stop or cease. And it's going to be the perseverance and finding the faith. And, you know, and a lot of it is, just like you said, determining what was really unexplained and, you know, what's just a house creak or pipes moaning.
Yeah. Can you tell us about some of your cases? You said your phone was starting to kind of ring off the hook.
You know, it's interesting because the cases always seem to come in cycles. There'll be a point in time where a lot of the cases that I'll get may be incubus or succubus related or sexual type demons. The next wave will be something associated with Ouija boards. The things that are coming through right now, it's kind of interesting because it's tending now to deal with families, and, you know, these dark shadow figures again. Now they're actually being associated with black dog figures as well.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how this whole...
they call that hellhounds? Like,
yeah, it's kind of funny because every year or two, about every 2 years, you start to get more of these reports of the hellhounds that begin to appear. A lot of them... For one reason or another, always seem to be associated with Native American land as well. I mean, there's one case I'm consulting with down in the southern part of the United States where, you know, this family actually moved onto a property and are having all this activity begin. And they're seeing these apparitions of black dog-like creatures and, you know, scaring the family to death. I mean, so you've got a lot of those that are beginning to pop up. Lots of physical assaults again. You know, there's a case just outside of Houston that, you know, has been very physical in nature, where people are getting scratched and bitten. There actually has been some video that I've seen of someone being pulled across a room. But it's really difficult to really get a grasp on any of these cases unless you're actually on site. So it's what I've been finding, you know, for the past year has been there's a lot more cases coming in, but it's also getting a whole lot more difficult to weed through what is an authentic case versus, you know, what someone's imagination going haywire, you know, as opposed to, you know, people just wanting attention.
Now, how do you figure that out? That's the tough part of the business, Dwayne.
It really is. Because, you know, on one hand, you have someone who's going through this very scary situation where even if it's not really happening, if they believe it's happening, that's all that really matters to them.
Yeah.
And you have to work within that framework. And a lot of times I do rely on local paranormal groups that I know or colleagues in that area to kind of go in and get a little bit better handle on the case than what I can from a distance. And I don't care until you actually sit down face-to-face with someone or have, you know, extended conversations with them over Skype, it's really difficult to get a handle on it. And, you know, that's been one of the biggest challenges lately.
Is there a... Well, let me tell you this. I had a person one time. It was kind of over Messenger. She was, I want to say, an hour or so away. So we didn't want to just drive out there without doing her research first. And,
sure.
You know, she had watched a suicide of her mother, you know, when she was young.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it got to her. She helped clean up the blood. And which any parent that would have her 7-year-old or their 7-year-old clean up the, you know, the mother's blood after such, like, that's ridiculous. Anyway, besides that, you know, she was seeing things. She said every time that she would, they cleaned it up with lemon fresh pine salt, okay? And every time that her mother would visit, she would smell lemons. Okay, so I was, you know, take pictures of the house, different areas that things are happening. Let me get a better view of what's going on. And she takes a picture of the kitchen, and right on top of the counter is lemon fresh pine salt. I'm like... Like, I think I figured out why you're smelling lemons.
Right.
You know, first off. Second, you need therapy. You know? Maybe I was a little blunt, but...
No, and I think sometimes that you have to be. I mean...
Well, it's always... You never want to play into the disorder. You know, and that's something from working in the hospitals that I learned.
Well, and you're exactly right. That's one of the first questions that I ask anyone that I'm working with. You know, if needed, you know, are you willing to undergo a psychiatric evaluation, or, you know, are you willing to work with a therapist after we do the work we need to do? Because regardless of whether or not someone's going to think you're crazy, let's put that all aside. If what you're going through is what you're truly going through, are you willing to work through that post-traumatic stress afterwards with someone? Because even if you go into a truly demonic situation, you stop everything from happening, you still have that human element that you need to deal with. You know, I have a lot of faith, I have a lot of spirituality, but let's be honest. I mean, prayer can only do so much sometimes. It's not going to lift the memories that somebody has of a traumatic situation.
That's true, and I think something you said before on this show, you have to want to get better before you can. I think that goes with, like, any kind of addiction, any kind of therapy. You have to really want to get better before things get better.
Well, and what one of the things that's beginning to happen with this work that I do is you're beginning to see, I guess in the hospital world, you'd call them frequent flyers. You know, people that my wife works in a hospital setting, and she tells me about these people that, you know, are frequent visitors of the emergency room. Whether or not there's actually something going on with them, sometimes it's sometimes just to have that human contact. And what you're beginning to see now are people with challenges, you know, whether they're psychological, whether they're spiritual, beginning to cycle through the paranormal community now, looking for people to help them with, you know, what they may perceive as, you know, a possession that's going on. And, you know, they'll let one individual help them so far before they move on to the next, because they're not really in a position to let go of what's going on, whether it's psychological in nature or whether it's truly spiritual in nature. And, you know, I've had a case or two that I've worked with over the past year that have been that situation where other people before me that I know quite well have worked with the individual. You know, they can authenticate what's going on is a demonic attack, but the person's not ready to let go of it yet.
Yeah.
For one reason or another, they want to keep it in their life, whether it's it gives them some sort of element of control or a feeling of power that they've never had before. I don't know. But you're beginning to see this cycle through now.
We had somebody on at the end of the year who said that they, you know, had an exorcism in their house. There was the spirit of a military man in the home, and it was doing all this. It was kind of, I wouldn't say terrorizing, but it was really messing with people. And they got the exorcism, and then like a few months later, that, you know, they were like, "Don't mention the spirit. You know, it'll welcome it back." Well, a few months later, the lady was like, "Oh, I kind of miss it. I feel lonely," and welcomed the spirit back into her home.
Right.
Is that something that usually happens, or is this lady just way out there?
You know, unfortunately, I would say 9 out of 10 times that's exactly what happens.
Really?
You know, it's a real rare occasion that it doesn't happen anymore. I mean,
See, I'm perfectly content with nothing being in my home. Perfectly happy. Except for my dog. Other than that.
You know, I completely agree with you. You know, I have things pass through my house sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Keep on passing through. But, you know, to welcome something into your home and into your lives, I don't understand that personally, because That's one thing that a lot of individuals aren't necessarily seeing at this point are the ramifications of welcoming a negative spirit into your life. And it's not necessarily the things that you see on television,
uh-huh,
you know, with objects flying around or, you know, seeing apparitions in the house. I mean, it can affect multitudes or multiple areas of your life, you know, your relationships, your finances, your health, everything that you wouldn't necessarily attribute to a spirit attachment, it can affect. And you got to be real careful because, I mean, you're opening yourself up to a world that you don't understand. Now more than ever, I mean, I'm getting emails of people wanting to become a demonologist or they're studying to be an exorcist. And you just kind of shake your head and said, you know, have you ever really stared into the face of something truly evil? And
I had this puppy once. No, I'm joking.
Well, the first time that you do that, I can't explain the fear that it brings up. As much faith as you have between you and what's there, I've always said that what scares me the most are people. Not necessarily spirits or demons. It's how people react, how people can do things. And when you have someone that's under the influence of some type of spirit, and you know what's looking back at you is not human, that there's no soul behind the eyes, it scares you to death. And when you have these 19-year-old kids that are saying, "I want to be an exorcist or a demonologist," you just say, "Oh my God, you don't know what you're in for."
Dougie's got a question.
Dwayne, what was the craziest case you've ever had?
Last summer, I had a case in New York that you really kind of questioned everything that was happening, because everything that they were describing was completely insane. It was to the point where I actually had three paranormal groups contacting me. It was a family of five, and they were in this home in the middle of nowhere. I dare say it was probably farther traveled out than where I stayed when I came down to see you guys. I mean, it was middle of nowhere. you pulled up to the house, and you swear to God it was something out of a horror movie. And in that situation, there was a double possession that was going on. One was a son, one was a mother. And
now, are you talking like the Exorcist type of possession, or are you not that hardcore?
Well, nobody's head spun around and they didn't spit pea soup out, but pretty hardcore in that I went through, blessed the house. The mother was actually inside the house sleeping at the point. She didn't know I was doing it. Within 3 minutes of me finishing, the husband comes running out and says, "You need to come in to the bedroom because there's stuff going on with my wife now." And went in. I mean, her body was contorting. She was screaming. She was talking in a different tongue. The more we prayed over her, the more violent she became. It wasn't long after that, the son was having issues. And there's actually videos of the son with his face changing, with him doing body contortions that I can't understand. He began speaking in a different tongue. And actually, I sent you an EVP, or not an EVP, but an audio recording of something that he did say earlier today.
Okay, can we play that one? Is the one that's, is the name, the little boy's name?
Was the boy's name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you play that, Doug? Oh, okay.
You know, it's something that's coming out of him in a foreign tongue. And I'll tell you right now, that was not his voice. It was...
That didn't sound like a little boy, Dwayne.
Well, the kid was 15, but...
Okay, that didn't sound like a 15-year-old, Dwayne.
No, not at all. And, you know, it was scary as hell. And I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, you had people in there that were being physically thrown around the house that, you know, were going through these bouts of possession. I mean, there was one circumstance that I wasn't present for, but the other, one of the paranormal groups had video footage of this kid going off the wall and actually jumping out a second-story window.
Wow.
You know, and again, it's stuff from the movies. But this was also a case where the family had a history of practicing magic and black magic. So it was stuff that they had welcomed into their life and opened up so many doorways in the home that they were at, that we cleansed the place as best we could, but they ended up having to move from the house. The house itself had a bad history in itself. There was actually three families that had lived there during the history of this house that had similar circumstances that just basically turned the family against itself. I actually spoke with the family earlier this week, and although the mom's doing a lot better, the son's starting to experience problems again. And they haven't lived in that home for probably about 6 months now. So, and that's a situation, too, where we get people into family counseling so they can talk through what they're going through and trying to work through it. But
now, did the family get better?
The family has gotten better. Things have gotten better as far as the activity goes, but it sounds like things are kind of starting to return to where they were.
Well, we got a question in the chat room, and it kind of plays off this. Are there any cases where you needed extra help? Like, is this a case where you needed extra help? I know you said you brought in three different paranormal groups.
You know what? Honestly, every case I can use all the help I possibly can get.
Okay, so you're not one of those people that, you know, I'm the highlight, I'm the big show, you know, watch how it's down, boys. You don't...
No, I mean, okay. No, everybody needs to know their limits. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not an exorcist. I'm not going to go in and I'm not going to do a Catholic ritual of exorcism over a house or over people because, quite honestly, I'm not qualified to do that. You know, given a set of circumstances and being in the wrong place at the wrong time, if we needed to work with people with deliverance, absolutely, positively, we would do that. But I always have a team of people that I take in with me. And, you know, those people, you know, are medics. They have healthcare backgrounds. And I always look for some sort of local tie to help them. You know, usually it's, you know, is there a local therapist that we can tie them up with? Is there a local church that's willing to help and guide these people? So, I mean, I really become more of a tool or a conduit for anything else. And I would be foolish to tell you that I could go in and change everything from happening for any family.
Yeah.
And I think any demonologist or exorcist would be crazy to tell you the same thing. When it comes down to it, it's really these people are tools, and they're there to help guide the family. And it's really the family or the individuals that are the ones that are going to make the difference.
How long do these cases usually last? Or what's the longest, rather?
That I'm involved with?
Yeah.
Years.
Years. So you know, you just kind of keep up with what's going on?
Yeah. I mean, that's really it. I mean, it's, again, not anything you can just turn a switch off at. It's a constant battle. Things get better. Things get worse. Eventually, people are able to free themselves from everything that's happening.
All right, we got another question from the chat room from New York Lily. What's the difference between a possession and a spirit that attaches?
Well, there's really loose definitions.
Okay.
I consider a possession is something that comes in and takes completely over. You know, so the individual does not have any type of control over themselves physically, psychologically, spiritually. They basically, something else is stepping in and taking over. An attachment is really something that's more just that, where it may be just kind of riding alongside the individual, maybe influencing some things around them to happen. That's where you may begin to see some poltergeist type activity. It's really kind of like a tag along, if anything.
Okay. Can we play another one of your clips?
Absolutely.
Any specific one? Oh, what's the one where you're praying?
Well, I had actually sent you one where I was actually doing a deliverance with a young lady. She was actually in her 30s and had a situation where for a good part of her life, she had lots of bad things that were happening to her and around her, and it finally got to the point where she was unable to even pray. And when she would begin to pray, something would try and stop her from praying. This was one of those circumstances where, if you asked me if I was ever scared, I would tell you that this was one of those, because I actually watched this woman fall to the ground in front of me. Something physically hog-tied her. Her eyes turned black, and it wasn't just her that things were happening to. The temperature in the room increased. There were bad smells wafting through.
Wow.
And so it was something that was outside of her realm of control. You know, and everything else was happening. As we began to pray with her, all these other voices began to come out.
Missed it. Okay. We're going to go ahead and play that clip.
Okay.
Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Loving Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I bring before you and prayer. I ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance that I may pray in the Spirit as you have told me. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have sovereign control over him.
Let him get him out of here! Let him go away!
Silence. You will be silent. I bind you to silence by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no other choice. You must remain in silence.
Go!
I ask for mercy and forgiveness for the sins of this woman, for which she has grieved you. I plead the sufficiency of the blood of Christ. I need the full penalty as the sins deserved. I claim back the ground of his life, which he has given to Satan, by believing the enemy's deceptions. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I resist all of Satan's activities to hold her in blindness and in darkness, exercising my authority, which is given to me in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pull down the strongholds of the kingdoms of darkness, which has formed against her. I smash and break and destroy all those plans formed against her, against her mind, against her will, against her emotions and her body. I destroy in prayer the spiritual blindness and deafness of Satan that keeps upon her. I invite the Holy Spirit of God to bring the fullness of his power to convict, to bring to repentance, and to lead her into faith into the Lord of Jesus Christ as his Savior.
Was that it? Okay.
Now, that's just, honestly, Jordan, that's a short clip. I mean, that actually went on for at least an hour and a half.
Wow.
That was one of those cases that I said, you know what, I'm over my head. And we actually referred that to the Catholic Church. And
what did they say?
You know, they deemed it as, you know, demonic influence. You know, they're going to be hard pressed to say anything as possession, but it was enough for a priest to work with her over the course of about a year and a half. And I actually talked with her a few months ago, and things are a lot better for her now, but she still works through it. And, you know, she's still seeing a priest every single week to try and get through all of this.
I was going
to
ask if you were the old priest or the young priest.
I would have to say I'm probably the young priest, but but you know, it's again knowing what's too much for you to handle, and just listening to that clip. I mean, that's a straight audio clip. There was nothing that was done to clean it up, nothing at all. All of that was coming directly out of her, and there were times that there were multiple voices speaking.
Really,
and you know, it's, again, things that go beyond the possible, as we know it.
If anybody out there has any questions for Dwayne, our number is 304-214-1600, toll-free 1-866-514-1600. We got a few minutes left in the show if you want to ask him anything. I got another question in the chat room. Can a shadow being harm you, and have any spirits ever followed you home?
Honestly, I've had spirits follow me home. Most of them have been pretty benign spirits that, you know, hang around for a little bit then leave. But as far as can spirits harm you, whether they be shadow beings or anything else, I think what really happens more is there's more of an intent there to have you harm yourself in some way. I've seen people that have been scratched and bruised, reports of people that have been choked, but nothing to the point of causing extreme serious harm to someone. If it's anything, it's people becoming so fearful that, you know, they end up hurting themselves or being pushed by something that causes them to hurt themselves.
Whew. I'm trying to recover from that one. Now, what do you do? Because, I mean, let's get real. You know, you said this one kind of scared you. You know, while you're there, you know, you are the professional coming in, so you can't, you know, flutter. You can't, you know, you've got to suck up every ounce of courage that you got, because, you know, at least, if not just to save face, but at least, you know, for the family, you have to keep your composure. What do you do when you get home?
Well, before I even leave the property, I pray that whatever's there stays there and it doesn't follow me home. When I do get home, quite honestly, if there wasn't the comfort there of my wife to talk to regarding all this, and, you know, she has a very unique ability to understand all of this as well, I don't know what I would do. Because as much composure as you have to keep through these cases, you also have to have some sort of outlet to be able to talk about them, to discuss them. And, you know, there are a few colleagues that I do work with across the country that, you know, I can call up and say, you know what, I'm losing it here. And I need someone to talk some sense back into me and remind me of everything that I tell everybody else, because it applies to me as well. I remember a situation not long ago where I felt like things were really encroaching back in on me and making me question everything that I was doing and wreaking havoc in my life. And, you know, not just spiritually, but financially and relationships. And like I said before, I mean, I ended up calling up a friend and said, you know, what am I going to do? All this stuff is happening. I feel like I'm the one that should be standing up against all this stuff. And I'm feeling like I'm falling. And it was basically the same words that I preach to everybody else. Fall back on your faith. And it's not up to you to stand up to it. Instead of you thinking that you need to stand there and you need to fight what's there, embrace the light. Look towards the positive. You know, and embrace God and look towards the positive things in your life, as opposed to, you know, thinking that you need to be the dragon slayer. And I think that's where a lot of us begin to falter, is that iconic vision of, you know, Michael slaying the dragon, and that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
And that's not really it at all.
It's good stuff. I know recently, around the last time we had you on, Animal Planet had that documentary about you, the Demon Exorcist. Any part twos coming out of that?
You know, there's some things in the works. You know, what'll happen, I don't really know. I do know that they are still occasionally airing that on Planet Green. So it seems to be getting lots of good followings in places like Brazil and Peru and other parts of the world. But, you know, whether anything more will happen from it, I don't know. I know that they are looking at some things, but, you know, whether anything comes to fruition, it doesn't really matter. I mean, if anything, that was more of a tool that we were able to utilize to get some people help that wouldn't have been able to get help.
That's good. That's a good way to look at that. Doug, you got any more questions for him? I know you've been kind of glued.
Oh, yeah. I've been glued to some of the stories, and wow.
You sent another clip, didn't you?
Yeah, there was a third one that was sent as well. That one was actually one of my first experiences personally with a demonic figure in Ohio. That clips a couple minutes long, so it's, again, a little bit of a lengthy one. But it was an actual EVP. We didn't hear any of it happening as it happened.
Is it playing?
I just saw multiple lumens. What'd you do in the picture?
Owlhead.
I'm looking at a really bad angle, must be, because he looks... Give a penis.
Okay, you got a kid. There he is, dead again. I don't like it.
It's not me. No. It's my mother.
Sorry.
where was the voice?
Well, you actually heard a hiss at the beginning part of it.
Okay, yeah.
And then a little bit later on, there was actually a deep-throated voice that said, give them something. Again, there was an EVP that nobody heard in the room, but for a good 6 months afterwards, we all kind of felt the retribution of what we had encountered there at that place.
What do you mean?
Well, what was there actually did follow us home.
Oh,
and
wow.
One of the things that began to happen was everybody around us actually began to see things happen in repetitions of three, whether it was knockings on the wall or... I recall that one gentleman actually had some tiles in his bathtub flying out of off the tub at him, and there were three of them. And a lot of people say, well, what's the big deal about the repetition of three? Well, it's a mockery of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and is one of the markings of a demonic spirit. And we began to have shadow figures that would appear to us. You know, one young lady actually had something that would come in her bedroom each night and sit down on her bed next to her. And, you know, there were people having marks appear on them, scratches, bruises, bites. I mean, it made you question everything that was going on. I remember, you know, I was having covers yanked off me at night. My mattress was being lifted and dropped. And, you know, it was 6 months of complete terror because you were going through things that you were taught could not happen, should not happen, but they were really happening.
Wow.
And, you know, this is before any of the days of, you know, ghost hunters or anything on television. That actually
so at that time, you know, it's something you didn't talk about.
No. And, you know, you thought, I remember times thinking, you know what, I'm going crazy, and there's really nobody I can talk to about this. And I think that's the scariest thing, is thinking that there's nobody that you can talk to. And questioning even your own sanity.
Wow.
Luckily, at that point in time, I was lucky enough to stumble across someone who had some experience in these type matters, and he was able to mentor me through it. But, you know, like you said, it was back in the time where you didn't discuss this stuff. And there was even a point in time where none of us were talking to each other about what was going on. And that just isolated everything even more.
Wow. Now let's talk about, because we're out of time, how can our listeners get up in touch with you if need be? I know there's your website, DwayneClaude.com.
Yep, DwayneClaude.com, and you can also find me on Facebook. Both are really good ways. Feel free to drop me an email, ask me questions. Be more than happy to answer any questions I possibly can.
That's awesome. And your book is Baptism by Fire?
Baptism by Fire is the first book that I wrote. It's actually exclusively on demonology and some of the cases that I have worked with in the past. That's actually available at Amazon.com as well as BarnesandNoble.com.
Awesome. Dwayne, always a pleasure having you here. Thank you very much. I know if anything happens in the show, no matter how bad off we get, if we need a guest, we can always rely on you coming.
I'm not sure how to take that, but I'm glad you always have me.
Well, you know, I consider you a friend.
So. Well, thank you. Please tell Lola I said hi when you do talk to her.
Will do. I will do. Have a good one.
All right, you
and,
too.
Thank you very much for the show.
Okay.
Have a good day. Dougie, what'd you think on that?
Whew. Some of those were a little out there.
Did you get some goosebumps?
Oh, yeah.
I know... Frank, you were...
Oh, definitely.
Frank was back here like... What'd you think your first time?
Oh, no, this is really neat. This is really neat. I actually would like to come back down more often if you have me.
Awesome. We're out of time. Until next week, everybody. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Sparkle blue beauty.